Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. I'm Dan Rettina, the founder of Dan's Papers, and my guest today is Eric Koch, who is the artistic director of the Southampton Playhouse. And there's a Montauk Playhouse, which is a community center, but the Southampton Playhouse is literally a playhouse. And there is performances and also several screens, and all up at the corner of Windmill Lane and Hill Street in Southampton. I asked you if you've been busy this summer so far. Has it been a crowd? Have you had crowds coming there? You're doing a terrific job from what I've heard.
Thank you for saying that, Dan. Yeah, I mean, look, we are a movie theater and we've been a movie theater since 1932, but now as a nonprofit, we're more than a movie theater. And that's a big part of what is keeping people coming to the theater. We're very community oriented. We have membership events. We do early screenings. We do events in our lounge, book talks. Tonight, as we're speaking, we're doing our first stand-up comedy event with Caroline Hirsch from Caroline's on Broadway, and I'm very excited for that. We'll be doing music, arts and crafts for kids. So there's always different kinds of things happening. We're trying to push people in the direction of thinking more expansively about exhibition, that you can have a space that celebrates culture of all sorts, even though it's known as this more traditional space, which is a movie theater. But we're four screens, and on those four screens, you will, on a normal weekday, find a lot of new movies. So the summer started with Toy Story 4, which is a big summer release for all ages. That's a franchise that has persisted for 30 years, so it's been great seeing, you know, both parents and kids excited for that release. But we're in a couple of weeks, in mid-July, opening The Odyssey on our IMAX. And I've told you before, we have the only IMAX in the Hamptons, the only IMAX for 50 miles. It's a really big deal. It's a floor-to-ceiling screen with the best image and sound you can ask for. And an adaptation of the most famous epic poem of all time needs that kind of scale to really deliver. So we're expecting that to be a big deal for us.
What time is the comedy tonight?
Tonight, the comedy is at 7 p.m. You're more than welcome to join us. It's a really good lineup. Caroline put together a couple of the up-and-coming stand-ups who performed well at the New York Comedy Festival in the city that she does every fall. So it's not like one of those weird open mic nights where you're hoping that someone doesn't bomb. These people are really going to deliver.
I'd like to go tonight. I don't know if my wife has plans or not. So if you see me, I'll wave and
I'm excited. I'll look for your hat.
Tell me about your schedule for the summer.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say on the Odyssey, last summer we had F1, this huge racing movie, and that was sort of the destination film for the screen with the IMAX experience. Now with the Odyssey, we're trying to sort of augment this big summer movie with special ways that you can have the experience enriched that only happen in the room. So July 18th, we've got some professors from Stony Brook coming, some literature professors coming to talk about sort of the legacy of the Odyssey through the millennia. I mean, it's wild to have, you know, a text that's thousands of years old still persisting in popular culture. So that's going to be a great one. And then July 19th, our neighbor, Rich Gelfond, who is the CEO of IMAX and really the reason why we're able to have a screen in, as a nonprofit like this, is going to come introduce it. And Rich has seen IMAX through several periods of its existence. He's worked closely with Christopher Nolan and James Cameron, a lot of other major directors who have used the screen to tell the story. So that's going to be a really great way to experience. And then also on July 24th at 5 p.m., that's the second weekend, one of the actors is going to join us via Zoom, so he'll be on the giant screen as well. His name is Benny Saf. He's a pretty big deal. He directed a movie last year called The Smashing Machine. His brother Josh directed Marty Supreme, and he's an actor as well. And he plays Agamemnon in the movie. So we're really excited to bring his perspective into that. So that's the Odyssey experience.
Not border on an audience, are you?
No, it's not. That's called 4DX now, where it's
Yeah.
like, it's like what they used to do in the 50s with Smell-O-Vision or the Tingler or that sort of thing. We haven't gotten that far into the engagement of the audience, but it's a good idea. We should think about it. That should be a lot of fun, though. I'm very much looking forward to that. We also have this great new adult comedy called The Invite, directed by Olivia Wilde, who's also an actress, co-starring Seth Rogen and Edward Norton and Penelope Cruz. And so the people who are looking for something a little more small scale, a little more elegant, we've got that too. So we're really trying to have different avenues. There's a little something for everyone. Our Playhouse Junior program, which is this year actually underwritten by the Rubio Butterfield Foundation, is our matinee shows for kids. And we do arts and crafts starting at 9:30 a.m. And then we show kids movies. But I've also augmented that with a lot of different experiential things around the theater. So, for example, this coming Sunday on July 12th, we're showing a really beautiful animated movie called Shaun the Sheep. Anybody who knows that series of films, it's a UK animation studio called Aardman that's really, really talented stop motion animation, but it's about sheep. So, we're gonna have a sheep from North Fork out front. They're bringing this sheep named Clover that's apparently a has a great story behind her existence, and she'll be on a leash so people can come out and meet the sheep and learn a little bit about what it's like to own a sheep on a farm out here. We're showing the Pixar movie Finding Nemo, Oscar-winning movie from a number of years ago, which is about a fish lost at sea. And our friends from South Fork Natural History Museum are coming out with what's called a wet lab, which is sort of a lab where you can touch aquatic creatures from the area to learn a little bit more about aquatic life out here. And then the last one I want to plug is 101 Dalmatians, which opened in 1961. So there's a bit of an anniversary situation going on there. It still hits. My child loves that movie. But we're going to have our friends from ARF, the Animal Rescue Foundation, come to the parking lot. We have a huge parking lot, and they're going to do a puppy adoption in the morning as well. So really, it's designed to continually give you reasons to visit the Playhouse. Maybe you want to see the movie. Maybe you want to do the arts and crafts with your kids. Maybe you want to bring a puppy home. Anything is possible. So that's that series. And then I could tell you also about our, I mentioned the comedy, stand-up comedy. Probably by the time this runs, some people will have missed it, but we're going to have more stand-up experiences at the Playhouse this summer. We have a series called Comedy Canon, and Comedy Canon is a classic comedy series. I'd like to keep it going all year round, but we're launching it this summer. The first screening that we're doing is Young Frankenstein. This summer, Mel Brooks turned 100, so it's a really good time to revisit his body of work. And the other screening in July that we're doing from the series is Some Like It Hot, which is a really fun movie with Marilyn Monroe and among others. And both of those screens will be introduced by comedians. And we've partnered with the Sticks and Stones Comedy Club across the way to find some folks who are appropriate or interested in these particular titles. So you'll get a little bit of stand-up comedy and then a comedy film. So that's going to be a really fun series for us too.
Oh, it's about August.
Yeah, in August, there's all kinds of stuff going on. We're still figuring out some of our new releases, what we call our first run, because there's a lot of unpredictability. But the end of July, we'll see on July 31st, the new Spider-Man movie opening, Spider-Man Brand New Day. That's a character that's endured since the 60s for a reason. He's very relatable. And the most recent spate of Spider-Man movies have been incredibly satisfying to a lot of different audiences, younger audiences and older audiences, because they're fun, fast action movies, but the characters is really sweet and kind of innocent in a way. So that's going to be great. It sets the stage for another big Marvel movie coming out with all of the main characters from that universe in December. So that should be really big for us heading into August. We have a series called After Dark, which I kicked off in June, showing a film called Donnie Darko, which is a kind of cult classic, and it was totally sold out. We had the director, Richard Kelly, with us, and that was a really lovely experience. So we're going to keep that going. On August 11th, we're showing a movie called Tromeo and Juliet, which I'm particularly very excited about. That is a movie directed by Lloyd Kaufman, who is sort of the king of the B movie in the 80s. He created a studio called Troma Films that did films like The Toxic Avenger. And these were sort of movies that had an element of social commentary, but also kind of silly, kind of lo-fi in a way. And over time, I think they've become even better because they're sort of time capsules. He made a movie in 96, so 30 years ago, called Tromeo and Juliet, which is a punk rock adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. and it's superb. Now, there was another Romeo and Juliet that came out in 1996, directed by Baz Luhrmann. And so that's the one most people know. And it sort of eclipsed the awareness for Romeo and Juliet. I actually think Romeo and Juliet's better. And Lloyd, who's great, he's 80 years old now. He's still a really larger than life character. He's going to come out and talk about that one. And then later in the month, in August, that series is going to culminate at the end of the summer with the 40th anniversary of Aliens, the James Cameron Alien movie, which is just a total blast from start to finish, with Sigourney Weaver better than ever. So that's just a snapshot of a couple of things going on. I guess the one other thing I would let you know about in terms of our repertory offerings is we have a series called Road Warriors, which is kicking off this month, featuring Marlon Brando in the ultimate biker movie, The Wild One. So we're showing The Wild One this month, and we're also showing Bullet with Steve McQueen, and we'll have some of the classic Porsches from that movie out front for that screening. But in August, the series culminates on August 27th with the 50th anniversary of Taxi Driver, which is sort of the ultimate Robert De Niro performance. You know, De Niro staring into the camera saying, "You talking to me? Well, there's nobody else here, so you better be talking to me." It's just so iconic, and it's just a great, edgy depiction of New York City angst. And the screenwriter, Paul Schrader, who turns 80 this summer, he's going to join us to speak about the legacy of that film. So that's going to be a real hot ticket too, I think.
Quite a schedule.
Yeah, it's busy. I mean, I always encourage people to sign up for our newsletter because I write this thing every week called the Playhouse Post, and my background is journalism. So I used to be a film critic, and I really wanted to carry over that sort of mentality into the way that we work. So you plug into the Playhouse experience, you get the newsletter. It sounds like a lot of stuff, but every week you kind of learn what else is going on. And we want people to feel very comfortable just trusting us that this week we've got two, three different things that could be worth your time, and you won't be let down. We also have a summer bar set up in the lounge. So if you want to come and have a glass of wine or a cocktail or whatever and just hang out and take in the vibes, you're more than welcome to do that too.
That's quite something. Tell me about the history of this movie theater.
Yeah, so the Playhouse first opened. It was a Southampton movie theater. Michael Glynn, who owned a bunch of theater chains in the 1920s, early 30s, actually was the first owner of this space in 1932, as well as the Sag Harbor space, what eventually became the Sag Harbor Cinema. So we're sort of joined at the hip historically. And we were an old movie palace with 1,000 seats and a smoking section in the balcony, and everyone would get dressed up. And, you know, it was a different era. It was the transitional moment from silent film to what they called talkies. So it was a really specific moment in time in film history. And it was on this spot on Hill Street. And very little has changed to the exterior of our building since then. If you go to the About page on our website, you'll see a photo from the 30s across the street. And really, the only thing that looks different are the cars in the photo. So that's how preserved it is out front. In the early 80s, it became a UA Regal. So it was basically a commercial multiplex. But it was consistently, from 1932 until 2020, a place where people in the area saw movies. So I'm sure you've seen movies here over the years. I've talked to a lot of people who have memories from the 50s and 60s all the way up to 2020 who remember watching movies in our theater. So because of that, we have this baked-in audience. But when the theater closed and people were trying to figure out what to do with it, some of the current board members had the brilliant idea, and the brilliant idea was to basically turn it into a nonprofit. So, as a nonprofit, we now exist for the community, which is something that was not part of the identity of this theater in the past. And
Have ushers with uniforms and flashlights.
not now, but I'm trying to get some old photos. If anyone local has, you know, relics of that era, I'm always encouraging. I've seen a few things like that, and I've had people come by and say, "Oh, I remember when my uncle worked in this old projection booth and things like that." And, you know, there used to be a chandelier in the theater when it was a single screen with 1,000 seats. We don't know what happened to the chandelier. So I'm always trying to find little bits and pieces. The Historical Society History Museum did a great oral history in the 90s with some of the original staff that's been super helpful for me. What I really like about it is now we're a four screen, it's very state of the art inside. So we want to both feel like we're moving forward, but also that we're nostalgic for the past. So I celebrate the history of vaudeville and that kind of entertainment from the era that we came out of, because I think it's really important for us to continue to capture that spirit. And there's a reason why this thing has survived for so long. So that's kind of where we're at. Now we have a membership and it's growing and a lot of different things going on all at once. But it really is on the foundation that was built from the 1930s that people actually knew that there was a theater in their town and cared about it that lets us do what we do now.
What is the membership all about?
Yeah, I mean, look, like any nonprofit, we're trying to cultivate a community of people who can help from a philanthropic standpoint support our existence. And membership is a classic sort of baseline. We have individual memberships, dual memberships, students, senior citizen, veterans, first responders. So it's kind of like every tier out there. And when you become a member, you gain access to all these different kinds of things. We do a lot of special events in our lounge, we do talks with special guests who are coming through. Sometimes we invite people to early screenings of big studio movies. You might get early access to tickets on special events. You get all of our Playhouse Junior events. So if you get the family membership, that can be a really great perk for people. And this summer, I'm starting a movie club that's only for members. So later in July, we'll do the first edition of that. And that's an opportunity to sit down with me before seeing a new movie, get a little context on that movie, but also about the other stuff that we're going on. So to your earlier point about all the stuff we have going on, well, if you're a member and you want to make the most of it, just come by and I'll walk you through it. I'll figure out what you like and I'll tell you what's worth your time.
What's your education that got you so interested in theater? Because it sounds like you're quite knowledgeable in this whole thing.
Yeah, third generation Texan with half my family's from Colombia. And I grew up in Seattle, Washington. So I spent my childhood there. And at that point in time, less so now, it was a really good scene for independent movie theaters. So I grew up going to great movies, not just the big new movies, which I liked in some cases, but a lot of classic films. I got excited by the classics by seeing them in movie theaters. And ultimately, through the work that I was doing at school, I got excited about writing about movies. And then I learned about film theory and film history through books I was reading. I actually was initially on an academic route. I moved to New York City for my undergrad. I went to the Department of Cinema Studies at the Tisch School of the Arts, and I studied film studies. But in the process of that, I really liked writing about film. I wanted to write for a bigger audience. And I started working as a freelance critic for a number of different places, some of the alt weeklies that don't exist anymore, places like that. I befriended some major critics who were still around, like Roger Ebert, who was a real mentor to me. And I ultimately ended up working for an entertainment trade publication called IndieWire, which is it covers independent film. It had started in the 90s when American independent film was really going through a big growth process. And I worked there through three ownerships, hired a bunch of staff, learned a lot of stuff on the ground through that and made a lot of industry connections. I would have stayed there forever. I loved everybody there and everything about it, but I got a unique opportunity to go work for a filmmaker to develop movies, and I wanted to learn that side of the creative process. So I went and I produced movies for about 2 years, and then this opportunity came up to run this theater, and it was just too great to pass up to go from, the journalism side of things to the production side of things to the exhibition side of things. I feel like I'm gradually getting the whole equation of entertainment. So that's my story in a
I
nutshell.
think the town is very lucky to have you. That's
Well,
how I.
thank you for saying that. I love Southampton. I used to come out to the Hamptons mostly for the film festival. I had a few friends out here. Sometimes I would come out in the summer, but I always wanted to spend more time here. And what I love about Southampton is that it really is a portal to the entire East End, and I've learned so much about this region and different kinds of audiences it serves, and everyone's just been so welcoming. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast and telling me more about it. I'll
Yeah,
see.
thank you. You're a legend, Dan. I'm honored that you would have me back again. So it's great.
Great. Thanks.
All right, hope to see you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Maybe.
Bye.